Sportscast, September 10th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. Please like our pages. Go on Twitter. Hit the button to follow us. And if you're like, and of course, go visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest news and scores. The New England Patriots are trading wide receiver Demaryius Thomas in the division to the New York Jets for the first time in Bill Belichick's era for a 2021 sixth-round pick. And we have Victor Rocho back from a long hiatus, two-month hiatus. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Well, thank you very much. Sorry I've been gone too long, but I'm excited to be back with you and the Sportscast. And how's everything going? Excited about the football season.
Pretty excited. NFL season started this past weekend. College football, we started about 2 weeks ago. But of course, the NFL has the most drama. You know, we saw Antonio Brown, you know, getting released by Oakland, started that whole fiasco on social media. Now he's with the Patriots. What are your thoughts about that?
Be honest with you, part of me kind of feels similar to other people, so I'm not trying to take anyone else's thunder, but from my perspective, I think there's some orchestrated move there.
You think so?
Because, you know, they were looking at him prior to him going to the Raiders. So that means they have they had a scout report already on him. Okay? They knew his issues in Pittsburgh, and yet they were still looking at him. All right? And remember, Pittsburgh isn't dumb. They didn't want to, like you just said, for the first time, they didn't want to trade him to in the same conference, right? And they're saying, so he ends up going to Oakland to end up going into the same conference. Who's going to compete against Pittsburgh? So that's what I was thinking. You know, his behavior is kind of a little bit erratic. But, you know, I want to ask you a question. My understanding is, I think where he went wrong was he did everything what he did. Now, I don't think he should have done what he did to the general manager. You know, obviously that was a little bit out of line. I don't know if that was orchestrated by him or not. But they did say he did a heartfelt apology. Is that correct?
That's what I've heard.
Okay. And everybody said it, right? Heartfelt apology. He apologized for what he did and this and that. Okay. And I kind of feel if someone owns up to it and says it to someone or does something wrong and they apologize, either accept it or don't accept it, but there's nothing else a person can do. Where I think that he did something that was not right was releasing a recording with his coach. I think that's out of line, you know, you got to respect your coach. You know what I mean? You got to respect your GM as well. But if he would have just left it as an apology and then asked to be released and let everything go, not a problem. But I don't know why he was, he did that to Gruden. I don't think any coach, whether it's Gruden or anyone else, deserves it.
Yeah, there was rumors that he hired a consultant, a social media consultant to do all this thing. And he really initially wanted to go to the Patriots, but the Steelers, you know, usually don't want to trade someone within the same conference. So he had to go to the Raiders. Actually Raiders is still in the same conference, but I guess they didn't want to trade to the Patriots, of course, cause they're, you know, they're rival, teams, opponents. So he pulled this fiasco on Twitter and YouTube and also Instagram. He used all the social media platforms. He did not use Snapchat for some reason, but he got it going, and he's now a Patriot. Now, do you think he'll be in his best behavior with New England? Because I heard he wasn't too rosy at Pittsburgh.
Well, I doubt that they traded for him without Brady and Belichick talking, and Mara, right? Not Mara, Kraft. So I think that, you know, this is what I'm saying. You know, I didn't know he wanted to go to the Patriots, right? And you just made that comment. I knew that he was trading. They didn't want to trade him to someone in the conference. I know that the Patriots were interested in him, but I didn't know his desire was to go to the Patriots. So he goes to the Raiders and makes his move and ends up going to the Patriots. For him to go to the Patriots, when they were talking to him and scouting him, they had to have spoken to him. When, after all this stuff's going on and they spoke to him, I don't think he's going to be a problem. I don't think he can afford to be a problem, number one, because Belichick and Brady are not going to deal with it. Yeah, Brady, think about the how many receivers Brady hits in a game.
Yeah, it's he'll have a few options this season. He'll have Edelman, and he'll have Gordon, and now Antonio Brown. So he has some options.
He's got a good running back, and he's got – my point being is, in every season, just globally, he's one of the quarterbacks that shares the ball. I don't care how much Edelman has done, Gronkowski – He still spreads the ball out.
Correct. Do you think with Antonio Brown, does that improve their chances of winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah, because I think Antonio Brown is a receiver that, you know, with all the weapons that they have, you're going to worry about him. Like, when you're on the field, those players could have whatever opinion they want of him, and the coach on the other team. But you better still worry about him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? So you got a receiver. He's a threat. Right? His after-catch yardage is large. He's been the top receiver for 9 years straight. I think he's won a Super Bowl, has he? Was he with the Super Bowl team back then?
Good question. Let me double-check on that. I know he was with the Steelers for at least 10 years.
So he's going to be a threat. And the problem is, he's a threat. Now you got to watch out for Gordon. Now you got to watch out for Edelman. Now you got to watch out for the tight end. Now you got to watch out for the running backs. I mean, it's like just having a guy with speed, like Ted Ginn Jr., for example. And, you know, he's doing great with New Orleans Saints. But he's a threat, not that he's because the ultimate receiver, but that guy flies. I mean, I forgot what his 40 time is, but he is fast. So when you get threats like that, you got a problem.
Yeah, looking from according to Wikipedia, he has not won a championship or a Super Bowl ever in his career in the NFL.
All right, so that means he was after when Ben won it. So he was there for 9 years. So, and I think he's at a point that he knows what's left, and he wants a ring. I mean, think about all the guys that went there and ended up getting a ring. Didn't they come from different places? Junior Seau was playing there. I mean, I don't think he won a ring when he was there. What was the name of the guy who's a sports announcer?
Randy Moss.
He was the linebacker. I forgot his name, but he was well loved. I mean, he came from another team. I mean, Edelman, not Edelman. Who was the other one? Who was before Edelman? He was with the Dolphins and then went there.
Amendola.
Yeah, Amendola. No, there was another one like Edelman before him, that mid receiver.
Oh, wow, man.
And then look at Ted Ginn Jr. from the Dolphins. He goes to New Orleans and look what he's doing. It's almost like every player that leaves the Dolphins does better than they were when they were with the Dolphins. So I think no one's going to mess with Belichick. Don't mess around. You're gone. I mean, you're gone. The only thing that I think that Antonio Brown, unless he's already been preparing himself or they told him that you're going to be in for these plays, the biggest challenge is learning their playbook. So either he's been doing that, preparing, or that's the only thing. He'll still be a throw, but they're not going to put him in if he doesn't know what he's doing.
That's something to look at. Of course, Belichick is known to be a very disciplined person, coach, one of the best in the league. And we'll see what happens in a couple of weeks. Really curious how that combination will work. And his first game might be against the Dolphins this weekend. So I'm looking forward to that because that's a way to test out your offense against the Patriots. That is, going against the Dolphins, which is not an exciting team right now. I think they're tanking for Tua. But people are just all down about it. But I think this is...
What do you mean? For the quarterback?
Yeah, for the quarterback. I think it will pay off next year or in 2 years. You'll see the results coming in. But We got to go one step back in order to take two steps forward.
The problem is, did you hear what happened after the game? Several players called their agents to be released.
I heard about that. Yeah, that's something that that's kind of concerning. There is a dynamic to that. If you do want to tank or if you want to lose like that. But of course, there's a lot of players that are waiting in the line, waiting in the wings to play.
So play where?
To play for the Dolphins.
Who?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, probably some unknowns, but you never know. Sometimes you cash some talent in the practice squads or in the reserve squads. But anyways, let's look over the scores. The biggest game I thought this weekend was the Giants losing against the Dallas Cowboys, 35-17. I think Ingram had a great performance. What are your expectations for the Giants this season?
Okay, so one, you know I'm a Giant fan.
Yeah.
So what blows me away is how they can get the first possession, drive all the way downfield, score, and then their offense just went away. Now, obviously, adjustments from the Dallas Cowboys and so forth, but, I mean, that was an excellent drive, and then you had nothing else. The second part is, you know, the Giants need a defense, right? The Giants need a defense. And I think that's a challenge, right? We're used to really big boys up front and linebackers and great defensive backs. I just haven't seen that in a while. The other expectation I'm having, and it's still yet to be seen, but I'm expecting Eli to have a great season, believe it or not. And I could be wrong. The only reason I'm saying that is he's a Manning, and I don't believe he's going to go out that way. I think he's going to play.
Of course.
That's just me.
Yeah. Eli Manning had 306 yards on Sunday, one touchdown. Daniel Jones, the backup, had 17 yards. He made a small performance in the game on Sunday, which I think he is the future of the Giants. Might be. I won't be surprised he'll start a few games this season.
I think he will not start unless that the Giants are very low in the conference. That's how I feel. I don't think that unless they're in a position that, you know what, I got to start this guy, that's it. But they're not going to start him. They won't start him for some time. Unless the Giants go 0 for something. No, I still don't believe they're going to start. The Giants are not that kind of organization to pull right away. And he had 300 yards, dude.
That's a lot in football.
And 300 yards is a lot for any quarter. I mean, how many yards did Dak Prescott have?
About this, let me double check, 405 yards.
Okay, so, and Eli, 365?
306.
306, so about 100 yards more, right? That's a lot, okay?
That's a lot
and
of
then,
yardage.
But look at Breeze. Breeze had 300 something yards. I mean, a 300 something yard game for a quarterback is a big game. Is that a fair statement?
Correct.
Okay, and it wasn't like it came late in the game, you know, but these guys, I don't know. And again, remember what I told you, you got a great quarterback. And I just don't feel they've been playing Giants football for a while, right? You got a great running back, is what we love, but you know, there's too many not deep passes, but short passes to quick guys. And I mean, did they even throw to the tight end once?
Yes, Ingram had a big game. Evan Ingram had 116 yards yesterday. I think he was the star of the show, besides Saquon Barkley.
Really?
Yeah, Evan Ingram had a great.
Ingram, what is he playing? He's playing tight end, but wide?
Tight end, yes. He had one touchdown, 116 yards, 11 receptions.
Right, so but was he playing wide or was he on the line?
I believe wide, but you can correct me if I want wrong.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's a shame on me that I didn't know he was a tight end, but I know who Ingram is. But but it didn't seem like he was coming from the tight end position.
There's a comment from one of our followers, and he says, the Giants have forgotten how to be the Giants.
I'm telling you, thank you. I agree. They don't seem like the Giants, right? I can go through the history of the Giants. They used to have really strong multiple running backs. Their line was huge, big guys. They would also have great defensive backs. At one time, they had defensive backs that were on the bench that could start somewhere else. Now, if they didn't have great defensive backs, they would have great linemen, great linebackers. You know, defense in the NFC East is key. You got to run. I mean, why do you think that Zeke is major for those guys? Saquon Barkley, he's also key. The other thing is I'd like to see him catch the ball more.
Saquon Barkley playing his second season, sophomore season, is having an incredible – had a great rookie season. He had 120 yards, and also Wayne Gallman had 17 yards. For receiving-wise, Evan Engram had 116, then Cody Latimer for 74 yards, and Sterling Shepard had 42 yards. He suffered a concussion, so we're not sure if he'll play this weekend. The Giants.
Let me ask you a question though. You were saying something. What other running back had yards?
I will tell you right now. Wayne Gallman.
How many yards?
17 yards.
Okay. Oh yeah, you did say that. Okay. Saquon Barkley, I still think he's going to have a great year, no matter what.
Yeah, he's the top running back in the league right now.
Look at what we just said. You had multiple receivers with 100 yards. You had your quarterback with 300 and something yards. You had your running back with 100 yards. Okay? That can't be offense. What's the time of possession? What was the time of possession? And I apologize, listeners. I am.
No, it's okay. I don't have that stat right in front of me. But let me double check. You could continue talking about it. But
I bet you the time of possession on Dallas is going to be a lot longer. It wasn't like they were making big plays all the time. They were just driving down.
One of the comments says that the culture has deteriorated greatly, and management has just sat back and has done nothing.
I agree. Tell the follower that they should never got rid of Coughlin.
That was a long time ago.
I know. I don't care. But, Coughlin went his first year to Jacksonville. Look how well they did as a GM. I didn't like Coughlin early until he won me two Super Bowls. And from that on, I'm always a fan of him.
He was able to beat the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, they don't seem like the Giants of the Giants, like just the moves that they're making. And, you know, maybe Jones is our future. I think I like the fact that we have a guy like Jones. But remember, you know, in my opinion, Eli is a two-time Super Bowl winning MVP, and he's beaten the Patriots twice. I don't care what anybody says. He beat the Patriots twice.
Only a few teams have done that. And also the Eagles as well.
The only teams that have beat the Patriots came from the NFC East. Two the Giants, one Philadelphia.
True. That's true. I forgot about that. Okay. Only from that division
itself.
I've got to
tell you something about the East, right? True. The NFC East. And so that's number one. Number two, I think I'm excited to have a Daniel Jones. But remember, what's his name from the Packers? Aaron Rodgers. He sat for 4 years. Now, I don't think this is going to happen with Jones because I think Eli's on his way, to
retire. On his way out.
But Aaron Rodgers sat for 4 years. Nobody knows that.
That is true.
For 4 years. As soon as he came in, he's one of the best quarterbacks there is.
The Cowboys had more time possession than 32 minutes and 18 seconds. The Giants had 27 minutes and 42 seconds.
How many? 30s what?
The Cowboys had 32 minutes, and the New York Giants had 27.
Okay. That's only 5 minutes, but that's like a third of a quarter extra. right?
Correct.
That's number one. And then number two, it's probably because of, you know, the Giants were sustaining runs. They were driving and then just couldn't convert. They weren't converting on third down. And that goes back to, you know, every team has that, I don't even know what they call it now, but that middle guy receiver, right? Like an Edelman, you know, everyone knows you need that guy or you need a guy out of the backfield, right? Again, if the tight end is lining up outside as a receiver, you know, that's not Giant football.
Not the Giants of old.
I don't remember any tight end that's a superstar. Pavaro, who was the other one that was recent? They were all on the line. The only one who played wide from time to time was Shockey, right? So, you know, anyhow, we'll see. You know, the NFC East is tough. Remember, we won the Super Bowl at 9-5. I can't say we're going to win it, but look at the Browns. The Browns were picked as soon as Odell went there. The Browns were picked to win the playoffs.
But they did not perform well yesterday. They lost against the Tennessee Titans.
Uh-huh.
43-13.
Did you see the game last night?
The New England game or the New Orleans Saints game?
The Saints game? Patriots played last night?
No, Patriots played two nights ago.
Oh, yeah, two nights ago. No, I'm talking about the Monday night, the doubleheader Monday night.
Monday night, yes.
Two great games.
Saints beat the Texans 30-28, and the Raiders beat the Broncos 24-16 without an Antonio Brown.
I was happy for that, you know, to be honest with you. That's a great way to start. But he barely practiced with them. So it wasn't like they were going about their business without him, right? You adding him.
They were prepping.
Like an incredible benefit, right? But they were already prepared, you know what I mean? They had to prepare as if he's going to be there or not going to be there. You know, in football, they design plays for particular people as the first option, then your second and your third. So I'm sure they had first option plays for Antonio Brown, but if he wasn't there, whoever was the second option now is becoming the first.
Derek Carr had 259 yards. Josh Jacobs had 85 yards.
Right. So think about it. Carr had less than 300 yards and scored how many points?
He scored one touchdown.
No, how many points total they scored?
Oh, his total was 24-16. Yeah.
24, okay. Eli had more yardage than he did.
That says a lot, doesn't it?
I mean, that's my point, right? You ain't got nobody to get in the end zone. But I could tell you this, that game last night with New Orleans and Texans, I mean, kind of felt bad for the Texans, but kind of love greatness, you know. I was watching with my wife, and she was about to go to bed. Do you understand what's going on here? I mean, you see this young kid. Did you see his first pass? He threw it from within the end zone.
Yeah. I mean, Drew Brees, he's still in his prime.
No, not Drew Brees, the Watkins. What's his name? Deshaun?
Yeah, Watson.
Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson threw his first pass while he was in the end zone. Man, I don't remember seeing that. He was like 5 yards in the end zone and hit a bullet. Right, and God bless that kid. He, you know, I hope he keeps going well, and because they played tough. But then giving Breeze the ball, it was just like, you know, neither one is my team, but I love watching greatness, and I think Deshaun did everything he needed to do to put his team in a position to win, and the defense has to step up. And everything they were saying about Texas was, they thought with J.J. Watt and the other gentleman on the other side, I mean, they should have dominated that. I mean, this is when they say defense wins, right? Because I really believe offense wins. But defense wins when it gets to that type of point. When it's a close game, defense has to step up.
Drew Brees had 370 yards, two touchdowns. Alvin Kamara had 97 yards. Michael Thomas had 123, the highest paid wide receiver.
Wow. Thomas, though. Remember, he wasn't anything until he blew up, right? When I say he wasn't anything, he was a pro, but I mean, he wasn't the star that he is now. And when he was on his way to be a star, he was incredible.
Deshaun Watson had 268 yards, still less than Eli Manning. Carlos Hyde had 83 yards. DeAndre Hopkins had 111 yards with two touchdowns.
You got to tell me the positions.
Wide receiver Hopkins had 111 yards, and running back Carlos Hyde had 83 yards, and of course, quarterback Watson had 268. They all had less than Eli Manning did.
Exactly. Okay, so like, what does that tell you about defense?
Defense wins championships. The Ravens have proven it, the Patriots have proven it, and the Chicago Bears have proven it.
Wait a second. The Chicago Bears have proven it. The Ravens have proven it.
The Patriots.
I don't know. When?
Last year. Last year they had like the best defense overall.
Forget about the best defense. What was the score in the championship?
It was like a low scoring game. It wasn't double digits. Let me see. Super Bowl 2019.
I'll give you that, but I bet you the time of possession would have been different. So I do agree to defense, but you know, I'm a truly believer today that offense wins it, because
offense sells tickets.
Well, offense also wins it. You know what I mean? A defense wins it when it's at the end, right? When it's early, or you know, you want to get off the field. But you got to remember the offense. In addition, if I play defense. So if your offense if you're not getting third down conversions, right, you're putting your defense right back on the field. You got it?
Got it.
So you're better off, you know, driving and driving and driving and driving. And if you get a 3-point, now you can get a 3-point from anywhere now. These field goal kickers are incredible. But my point being is if you keep possession of the ball, it gives your defense a chance to rest and to perform. But if they're on the field, right, you know, they were on the field for five more minutes than Dallas, and you don't know what happened at the end, if Dallas just scored later and was running it out. You know, 5 minutes is one thing, but at the end they were up by so much, they could have just been taking their time. You know what I mean? So if the offense is not performing, you know, your defense has to stand up. But, man, it's too hard to be on the field that long. Those are big boys.
Anyways, we're going towards the end of the show. Anything else before we head into game predictions?
I don't know if it's I'm getting older or the athletes are getting better. But just like we were talking about in the NBA, that there's a lot more stars like you know of. It's like the NFL's getting there.
There is. A lot of low-key names that, you know, for the first couple of years, they were low-key, but now they're stars, like Thomas from the Saints.
Well, you got Thomas from the Saints. What about the quarterback from Kansas City? You got Baker Mayfield. I mean, you got some Deshaun Watkins.
It is a quarterback-loaded league already. Yeah, there's a couple quarterbacks you can choose.
Yeah, but you got Barkley. You got Ezekiel. You got Dak. You got Odell.
Deshaun Watson?
Le'Veon Bell, and you still got the Roethlisbergers, and you still got Brady.
You got a mix of old and new.
And you still got Aaron Rodgers. You still got Phillip Rivers. I mean, think about it. There's known talent, you know, which is the NFL, I always believe, does a great job with parity. Anyhow, I'm just saying to you, I can't tell what it is, but it's nice to know a lot of talent that is out there that they're performing at high levels. Win or lose, but they're performing at high levels. I mean, you know, Matthew Stafford is still a great quarterback, but we'll see.
Matt Staff. Anyways, let's enter into predictions for this weekend. Thursday Night Football, Tampa Bay versus Carolina.
Ooh, Tampa Bay versus Carolina. Well, Carolina's coming off a loss, right? Where are they playing at?
Playing in Carolina, in Charlotte.
I'm going to take Carolina.
The L.A. Chargers versus the Detroit Lions at Detroit Ford Field.
Chargers.
Minnesota Vikings at Green Bay Packers and Lambeau. First home game for Green Bay.
Minnesota looked good too, but Green Bay at home with Aaron Rodgers, I won't bet against him. So Green Bay.
Dallas Cowboys at the Washington Redskins.
Oh, Dallas. I hate to say it.
Seahawks at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Seahawks.
The Buffalo Bills at the New York Giants. Wow, they stayed in New York. They were at the Meadowlands last week and at the Jets. Now they just might as well stay in New York for the week.
They may have. But people like to be home too, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with my Giants. I'm gonna go against my. I don't think they're gonna lose two games in a row.
Saints at the L.A. Rams as a repeat of last year's NFC Championship game. But this time, it'll be in L.A.
Oh, the Saints. I think they're pissed.
Saints again. Eagles at the Falcons, Sunday Night Football.
Eagles.
And Monday night, Cleveland Browns at the New York Jets at the Giants Stadium, Meadowlands Stadium.
Cleveland.
It's actually MetLife, but I that game is pretty tricky.
Giant Stadium. We don't give a crap about anybody's sponsor.
Pretty tricky game because Cleveland lost, the Jets lost, but they're playing at home, so it could be anyone's game. That's a flip of a coin.
But you got to remember, though, that's Odell's field.
That is OBJ's. Right? Yeah,
I mean,
homecoming.
It's a comfort for him.
It is.
It's a home game for Odell. Odell's going to want some redemption in his own stadium.
Random question. If you had to pick one of these players to guard Kobe Bryant for your life, who would it be? Scottie Pippen, Rodman, Michael Jordan, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, or Dwayne Wade? Who would you pick from these players to guard Kobe Bryant for your life?
Wow, that's hard, man. Okay, hold on. You got Pippen, Jordan,
Dennis
Wayne
Rodman,
Wade,
Kawhi Leonard, Rodman, and LeBron James.
Wade is out, as much as I love him. You know what? I mean, it's Michael or Pippen. I'll go with Pippen.
A lot of people has picked Pippen because Pippen was probably one of the best defenders at his time. And people say that because he guarded Michael Jordan during practice. So it was very good situation.
So remember, Michael won Defensive Player of the Year as well.
I did not know that. Wow. And
sure he did. Yeah.
A lot of people picked Michael. A lot of people picked Pippen or they picked Kawhi Leonard. Those three are pretty up there. But I think if Pippen was in his prime,
I would think Pippen's
for sure.
Number one, yeah. Because I think that he's more athletic and talented, not than Jordan, but than the other guys. I think Kawhi is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he has that same defensive type of play.
Victor, how can people reach you online to talk to you about or lament about the New York Giants?
Oh, awesome. Yes. You want to get some Giant baby on? Let's get it on, Blue. You can reach me at my Twitter handle is @VillaRocho. My website's victorrocho.com. And my YouTube podcast is youtube.com/VictorRocho TV.
There you have it. And you can visit us on thesportscast.net or on Twitter @thesportscast1 for the latest on sports, podcasts, news, anything you think about sports, we're on there. And, of course, follow us on the Twitter account @thesportscast1 for any games that we live tweet on. Last week we had Alabama versus New Mexico State. But, of course, there's a lot of Alabama fans. I know there's a low-key game. And we had Kailu live tweeting the NFL throughout Sunday. So it was pretty exciting. But visit us on thesportscast.net. Really excited about week two this week. Tonight, Dennis Rodman, 30 for 30. Are you going to watch that?
If I get a chance.
You should. I'm going to watch that. And they're going to make one about Latrell Sprewell. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I would watch Rodman over Sprewell.
You would.
Anytime. Rodman is Rodman. And The guy was incredible.
Probably one of the greatest defensemen in history of the NBA. Played for the Bad Boys.
Rebounder.
And played for the Chicago Bulls.
Rebounder.
And he played for the Spurs as well, and the Lakers, and the Dallas Mavericks. But anyways.
Right. So he won, what, four champions, six champions? He played for the Pistons. He won
Pistons,
two
so four championships in total. It could have been, I think he won a fifth one. Another one with, I think two with the Pistons and three for the Bulls for sure. But he might have won one or two with the Pistons. I know for sure at least one. But he had a good career.
He won two with the Pistons.
He what?
He won two with the Pistons.
Okay, so it's five. Five rings. That's not as bad. But not as good as Robert Horry. But anyways.
Yeah, that's right. You know that's my boy there.
Victor, I appreciate you coming back. We'll see you next week or in a few weeks. What's your schedule like?
Yeah, no, let's go week to week in football, man. Let's light this up.
Victor Rocha is an NFL and NBA commentator. He doesn't do college as he says he does. And, of course, we'll be on the sportscast.net. We'll have Justin Riley on Thursday, possibly Kai Lu sometime this week, and we'll continue on. Ryan Crista is a random guy, so he might appear anytime on the sportscast. Victor, I appreciate you coming on to the sportscast.
No, I appreciate it. And sorry for my long sabbatical, but you guys always do a great job. I really appreciate it.